start making plans now to join us for the paranormal event of 2007.
The Halloween Spooktacular, October 27th, at the Haunted Lincoln Theater in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor, author of 50 of the best-known books on haunted history, not to mention the Ghost Hunter's Guidebook.
Meet the rock and roll ghost hunter Keith Dage from Sci-Fi Channel Spooked, and Del Kazmarek, president of the renowned Ghost Research Society.
Join in the discussion with Rosemary Ellen Guiley and psychic detective Ken Berg.
Meet Becky Ray and Laura Moon, host of Darker Side of the Moon Radio. And, of course, there's us.
The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, live from the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
If that's not enough, folks, there's a free tour of the Greenwood Cemetery and a big screen viewing of the 1932 classic movie, The Old Dark House.
There's even a haunted Decatur tour and a late-night hunt of the Lincoln Theater itself, sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
Seating is limited, folks. Make reservations now at www.prairieghost.com/halloween.html or by calling 888-446-7859. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express accepted.
It's not just spooky.
It's spooktacular!
Car crash, still frames and streetlights. We are the Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order.
Shadow governments, strange
buried treasures.
Planetary
mind control.
Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, planetary mind control.
Out there.
Out there. It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
You are listening to Ghostly Time with your hosts, Doug and Scott O.
All right, kids. You think we've made them wait long enough,
it's
Doug?
I think time.
I'm going to have to get, like, drum roll music for next week or something.
Just let me do that every time.
It's that time. The giveaway for this week's ticket for the Mid-South Paranormal Conference, third weekend of September. I always forget the date. Well, maybe we should read the date. To add more drama to this thing, I think we should do that.
Dun, dun.
Yeah, we're going to add more drama to this. So just, I'm going to make you wait even longer.
21, 22, 23? Well, 22nd and 23rd is when...
September 21st through the 23rd of this year. Mid-South Paranormal Conference. It's going to be off the Clarion Hotel and Conference Center. It's going to be really cool out there. Basically, the weather...
In Louisville, Kentucky. Easy to get to.
What we're going to do here, like we said, this is how it works. I'm going to ask this question, and then you have to call into... What's that number, Doug?
Oh, I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Area code 605-475-8590, and then when the recorded lady asks for it, you type in 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
It's on the website. Go to the homepage. So here is the question. Okay, here we go. Drum roll. Come on.
Oh, that's a good one.
You want me to do that?
Right.
All right, that's good.
That was horrendous. Okay, the question is... True or false? It's a true or false question.
50-50 chance.
50-50 chance. You can't beat that, right? True or false? Ectoplasm is a projectile liquid-like substance that is sometimes reported to come out of mediums and psychics' mouths during seances. True or false? I'll ask it one more time. True or false? Ectoplasm is a projectile liquid-like substance that is sometimes reported to come out of mediums and psychics' mouths during seances. True or false question. So you have to call in, give us a true or a false, and we'll tell you what the right answer is. That's how it works. We're waiting for your call. In the meantime, though, we do have our next guest on the show.
Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. David Farkas is a gifted intuitive and spiritual healer who does remote energetic healing work, clearing and protecting people, places, and spaces. He's a technician of the sacred, and his website is www.househealing.com. Mm-hmm. Ghostly Talk would like to welcome David Farkas to the show. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you on the show, and I first of all need to thank you also for your flexibility, because I know you were on the road today, and we were originally going to do this on your cell phone, but you made it home, so thanks for letting me know so we could call you on the landline instead. It always sounds better on the landline, I think.
Well, I'm glad we're on the landline, too.
Yeah. Now, the work you're doing, I went to your website and looked around, and what you're working on and stuff like that, I mean, it's house healing, and we hear about this a lot from people, like, you know, and we've heard, maybe you know about this too, because we've bantered about this a lot on the show and stuff about, you know, you're supposed to divulge whether a house is haunted to somebody if you sell it to them. If not, you can get in a lot of trouble or something like that.
Yeah, what's the real rule on that?
What's the rule? I actually was at the Dowsers convention this weekend, and I talked about stigmatized real estate, so I'm all ready for this question. it's interesting because there is no concrete rule. It's a different requirement than every state, especially in terms of what realtors are either required to report to prospective sellers or what they're required not to. So it really varies state to state. But there are several court cases which are really fascinating, including the one that's quoted the most, which was a haunted house in Nyack, New York, which is north of New York City.
Mm.
And this was the local haunted house. It was a B&B that advertised that it was haunted. It had been covered in local media and in Reader's Digest. So everybody knew this was a haunted house. And they sold it to some folks from New York City. And when they went to an architect to get renovations done, you know, get the plans for the renovations, the architect said, "Oh, you bought the haunted house. Cool." And the guy's wife completely freaked out. And they went to court. And the first level of the court said, you know, caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. You know, it's just not something that's required to be reported.
Mm-hmm.
And they took it to appeals. And it was a very funny, they won the case in appeals and they got their deposit back. But the judge literally said, "Who are you going to call?"
Nice.
You know, and there was also another piece I found that was some quotes from a professor at the law school at the University of Florida. And what they were bringing up was, what do you do with something that's a perception that some people believe in or are more sensitive to than others? And you get past having a certification or an inspector for a leaky roof, and you start talking about things that not everybody believes are real, and how do you handle that?
Mm-hmm.
And if you say that you need to deal with those things, if you can't solve the problem, you create unsaleable real estate or real estate with much lower value. And, you know, my answer to that is I raise my hand and go, "Well, yeah, I can check it. I can fix it. You know, what's the problem?"
Mm.
But it's a very interesting issue, because what they were saying was, if somebody publicizes that the house is haunted and then doesn't reveal it, they have in effect made it a public statement that the house is haunted. So under the law, that makes it a haunted house because they've been talking about it.
So more or less.
Well, the thing is for the people that I run with, and I run with some people, you know, the people that I run with,
only imagine.
Yeah, but they're fun. Having a haunted house would be actually like considered a bonus. It's like, "Oh yeah, and by the way, it's haunted. Oh, okay. I want that house then. I mean, you know, I don't care that it doesn't have an island kitchen now. I'll take it." You know? So I don't know. I guess it just depends on the market. And those folks don't know what they lost in that particular case. They lost out on a bona fide haunted house.
Well, I think some people, I mean, obviously, the popular idea is, you know, "Oh my God, my house is haunted." Well, a lot of people are going to be very, very frightened of that and disturbed of that idea. I don't think a lot of people want to be living with the idea that when they're sleeping at night, somebody's watching them that they can't control.
Well, yeah, that's probably the vast majority of the public. Hey, you know what, David? There is one haunted house that has been traipsed through media on film, on TV, in books, here on Ghostly Talk. It's been traipsed through everything and discussed to no end. You've got to hear about this one all the time. And I was wondering what your take on the Amityville house is. Horror.
I tend not to read any of that stuff, so I vaguely know the Amityville story.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably could tune into it while we're talking, but what's a particular aspect of what goes on at that house?
Well, that particular one, now this was a while ago, of course,
yeah.
And of course there was a murder there, where a fellow murdered his family, and then a family moved in, and then they ended up moving out 28 days, I think it was
28 days later,
28 days later they moved out, and the that 28... you know, leading up to the sale, you know, the sale of the house, and then the 28 days, you know, comprises the most of the classic, what, 70s mm-hmm. Movie, the Amityville Horror.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, but see, since then, people have owned this house, and there has been no activity whatsoever. What I'm wondering, and so I'm interested in the property, of course, but the, you know, what I'm more interested in is this question: could it be the people who move into the house that really affect a haunting, or could it just, is it sometimes the property as well? Like what, or are both like different kinds of cases? The people in the haunting or the house?
Well, there's definitely an interaction. And this kind of, I've been putting together as much information as I can get, and a lot of this is from talking to ghosts, about how ghosts wind up being ghosts, because in a basic way it doesn't make sense to me. You know, in an orderly universe, at the end of your life, you would cross over, so why don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And there are patterns to it that I really find fascinating. So if you have a very sudden death, for example, get hit by a truck, you know, get shot and you were not, had no idea anyone was shooting at you, that kind of thing, you don't have the oh no moment where you go, something's wrong here, or have an out of body experience. There's no time to integrate it. And other types of situations like that is a death that's very horrific, where the emotions of the moment are totally consuming. You know, brutal murder, terrorist attack, something which is very violent and very sudden. Mm-hmm. The person gets totally caught up in that moment and never gets out of it. You know, they never know that they left their body. They have no idea what happened. They're just caught up with it, which is really a horrific thing. But there are all kinds of other things. You know, if you die with the belief that when you die, the lights go out and the show's over, it's really embarrassing and confusing when you have consciousness and you can still see something that looks like a body. And they have no concept of going to the light. It was never part of their reality.
Mm.
So for them, they're alive. They don't have any way of comprehending being conscious other than being alive. You know, and I can go on. There are all kinds of patterns, and there are mechanical patterns. You know, people who have died go to the light on what I see as a grid, but other, you know, people talk about it being a stairway or, you know, some kind of path. And for a whole array of reasons, the grid gets corrupted. It just gets broken. And so they're going for the light, and then there's no light. Their path is gone. And I've seen places where there are so many ghosts caught at those points where the grid ends that they shatter space-time and disappear. Really creepy places, but you can't find them unless you know what questions to ask. So there are all of these phenomena that get people caught and create the ghost phenomena. And then part of what's going on is, since they don't know they're dead, and a very small fraction of ghosts know they're dead, they're looking for attention. You know, why aren't people paying attention to me? Why aren't you talking to me? Why can't I do these various things that I used to do?
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is look for people that they know can give them attention. So anyone who has any kind of psychic ability, whether they know it or not, is going to get the attention of ghosts. And that means little kids who can still see, it hasn't been shut down, especially the new kids coming in who won't let it be shut down. Who will say, Mommy, who's that guy on the stairs? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or psychics of any kind. And psychotics, you know, people who are crazy, who are talking to voices, often are talking to real beings. They're talking to ghosts and other beings, but the doctors that are making the diagnosis don't have the perception and say they're wrong. So it can be, and in my experience it often is, that someone in the house has a really good perception of ghosts, may not know that they could do that, and the ghosts know it. So they show themselves to that person. And the funny pattern that I see fairly frequently is someone will say, you know, we hear footsteps and we hear this and we hear that, but the only one that really gets creeped out is, you know, my son's girlfriend. And she'll go down to the basement rec room and feel like she's being watched and like someone's touching her. And I said, is she cute? And yeah, you know, she's a hottie. And I was like, well, now we know it's a male ghost who likes beautiful young women. He's not going to come out for you. Why would he? He's not interested. He wants the attention of the same people he wanted the attention of when he was alive. So, you know, ghosts still have their personality. So if you were smart when you died, you're still smart when you're a ghost. If you weren't so smart, you're not so smart. If you were timid and never left your house, you're going to be hiding when you're a ghost. And if you were a mean jerk, you're going to be even more of a mean jerk because now you're confused and annoyed and nothing's working for you. And, you know, you're walking around being really angry at everything.
Are there ghosts who are non-human?
There are non-human entities, but I wouldn't call them ghosts.
Okay.
Okay, my definition of a ghost is the soul, spirit, intelligence, whatever is eternal about us that has been using the body for a lifetime and now no longer is living in that body. And that for my perception, is a part of us that goes on forever. You know, people believe that other people die, and that's a psychotic lie. People don't die, only their bodies die.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the entity that I call a ghost. But there are things like demons and aliens and interdimensionals and all kinds of strange things out there. And, you know, occasionally people have interactions with them, but mostly they're not going to do things that people notice the way they notice ghosts. They'll be around and they'll do things, but they don't typically show up in ways that someone that isn't looking for them will find.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about popular media is almost all of the popular movies, with the exceptions of a few that are really accurate, really are about demonic stuff, not about ghosts, and they call it ghosts. So even Ghostbusters, and I'm sitting here wearing my Ghostbuster t-shirt that I was wearing. That has my web address on it. You want a couple of dozen? Because I'm trying to get them out of here.
You need to go to the conventions. I mean, if you were at the convention, you'd be like, wow, everyone wants one.
Well, you can tell me about that when we're done.
Cool.
Definitely. No, one thing you mentioned actually before that kind of sparked my interest too was you mentioned psychotic people that, you know, they have mental issues and things like that. And I've been saying this for a little while. You know, people are saying they're hearing voices, they're seeing things in front of them, and you know, and then we know the usual regimen is let's drug them up and put them away so they won't hurt anybody or themselves. But I've been saying it to people, like, you know, maybe these people, maybe they're sensitive themselves. Maybe they're seeing things that are beings from the other side, so to say. And they have no way of really expressing it except violently in some cases, right? But maybe they are seeing something and they're not, you know, it isn't a chemical imbalance like most people say. I thought that was interesting that you noted that also. Because, I mean, I think these people, I mean, maybe a bulk of them, they are seeing they're seeing these, whatever, entities, whatever you want to call them, or hearing things. It's very possible, I think.
And I've seen that. I mean, I've worked at various psychiatric hospitals when I needed odd jobs. They're very odd jobs. And I worked nights at a hospital in California while I was apprenticing with a healer and hanging out with a Cherokee medicine man, which made it quite an interesting couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
And not everybody who was in there was a psychic that was not identified as a psychic, but several of the people were, and I could see who they were talking to, and they had long-standing relationships with these entities, and it wasn't so much, you know, they integrated being crazy as who they were because everyone would say, you know, you're crazy. Who are you talking to?
Mm-hmm.
And if people tell that to you your whole life, you go, okay, whatever. And you integrate in some way that you must be crazy. Now, when their life doesn't work anymore, you can't send that kind of person to the average nursing home if they're an older person. You need a place where they're not going to be freaked out by the voices.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks in the psych hospital won't know that it's real unless it's somebody like me. I can tell you a really funny story about that. I'm thinking of one person in particular.
Go ahead.
I work nights, so you come in at midnight, and you typically don't see anybody all night. And then at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, there's a flurry of activity for an hour and a half. I get people to breakfast and medications and treatments and things. And so this gal was the perfect patient. We never saw her at night. And she was up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and she's not just talking to her voices, she's really angry, which also is out of character. And she was this wonderful, tall, stately African-American older woman, and whose name was Annie. And she was saying there was a snake in her bed. There's a snake in my bed, and he will not let me go to sleep. So, you know, everyone else is in the nursing station cracking up about the Freudian implications of a snake in her bed.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And I went out in the day, hey, what's up, Annie? You know, what's going on? So I said, have you ever seen this guy before? No, and he's nasty. I'm like, okay. So she had a single, which was great because I could go in and just shut the door. And there was this silent conversation between me and this ghost. And it was, hey, how you doing? And he said, you can see me. I said, yeah. He said, your staff? Uh-huh. What does that mean? He was totally confused that the staff people could see him and hear him.
Mm-hmm.
Because only the crazy people could see him and hear him. And I said, well, you know, it means you got to go. And, you know, they always get blustery and go, well, what are you going to do about it? And I said, well, check whether I can do something about it. He's like, oh, you can. I said, so what's the last date you remember? I said, well, you know, 1853 or something. I said, so for over 150 years, you've been hanging out with crazy old women in psych hospitals? Are you bored yet? And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, you died a long time ago. And I get this answer to that over and over again. He said, oh, that explains a lot. Which totally cracked me up. And it's consistent. I hear it a lot. And I said, you know, here's two angels behind you. They can take you to a place that's a lot more fun than this. Or I can blow you out of the room. You have a choice. He's like, I'm leaving with them. Cool. Go back out in the day room and Annie, you can go to sleep now. Thanks, honey. You know, and then I have to go into the nursing station, and they had to get Annie to sleep.
I got a story to tell you.
I wonder what the report looked like on that one. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, the report said she was up. I talked to her. She went to bed.
Let's take a quick break, though. Before we go to break, though, what I want to do. We still got this thing up for grabs right now. I guess should I read the question again?
Sure, why not?
I mean, you see, the people, I think a lot of people, like, again, people listen to the archive.
I tried dialing earlier, mm-hmm. and I got a thing that said, your call cannot be completed as dialed.
You're kidding me.
And so I think only a certain number of phone calls are going through, but so far nobody's raised their hand or anything, so.
All right, well, let's read the question one more time. And then we'll test the phone line after and see what the problem is. Maybe there's something with the phone line.
I'll try it when we go.
Yeah, yeah, okay, cool. Here's the question again, all right? Ectoplasm, well, true or false? True or false? Ectoplasm is a projectile liquid-like substance that is sometimes reported to come out of mediums and psychics' mouths during seances. True or false? We need to know the answer. Just we need you to call in, raise your hand, all that fun stuff. Go with the number, Doug.
Phone number is area code 605-475-8590. And then when the lady asks, it's conference room number 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
All right. Well, while we wait, we'll go to break here for a few minutes. We are talking to David Farkas right now about all kinds of neat stuff. Hearing all kinds of neat stories, too. Wouldn't expect him that, but it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Call in if you want this ticket for the Mid-South Paranormal Conference.
In Louisville, Kentucky.
True or false? I'm not going to repeat it again. We'll be right back after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com. Thank you.
Join the three paramigos for some serious discussion of the paranormal.
He wants to know how John prepares himself for what he sees before he goes out on some of these investigations.
I just take my glasses off.
And as usual, some surprising guest.
I was going to contract the viewer of Rodney Dangerfield. Can you hear me, Rodney?
Hey, what is this place? Where am I? I need to fire my agent. I get no respect.
Some very serious topics will be discussed.
Did you ever share with everybody my nickname for you?
No. Go ahead and tell them.
Tiny.
From the serious to satire, the Three Paramigos radio program, Tuesday nights on the APEC Radio Network, 8 to 10 p.m. Central.
The Three Paramigos are we.
the charm and mystery of the deep sound through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
Listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
I haven't had a chance to do this yet, Doug, but I wanted to comment on that fine T-shirt that you're wearing tonight.
Oh, thank you very, very much.
I know when he got that.
Yes, I got this at that airport. That
yes.
It's a City of New York Police Department shirt.
Yes, it is.
So you're on payroll over there now.
Well, no, I did them a favor.
The proud, the few.
Yeah.
Rich Guzzi's from New York.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I thought it was kind of ironic that you wore that shirt. It's pretty funny you wore that.
Yeah, I didn't even connect that, but you're right. That is awesome.
We have a caller on the line who wants to try to answer this question. Again, I'm going to ask the question again. It's just for educational purposes.
Okay.
Ectoplasm is a projectile liquid-like substance that is sometimes reported to come out of mediums and psychics' mouths during seances. Misty, are you on the line there?
I sure am.
I'd like to get your... It's true or false. What's the answer?
True.
Oh!
Yay!
Awesome.
Congratulations
on...
Congratulations on answering that highly, highly difficult question. No, we're not knocking it at all. Congratulations. You are the proud owner of one free ticket to the Mid-South Paranormal Conference in Louisville, Kentucky, September 20, what did I say?
It's like 21 through
September 20. September
21st
through 23rd. September 21st through 23rd. So what we'll do, Misty, is we'll get a hold of you after the show, okay?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get a hold of you after
We've
the show.
We've got her number.
Yeah, we have the number and all that fun stuff. We'll get a hold of you after the show. We'll get all the pertinent information from you, and we'll forward that over, and they'll take good care of you. All right?
Sounds great.
Thank you, Misty. Now go away. We got to talk to David.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, Misty. See you later. Have a good night.
Bye.
On the line, we still have, if he hasn't left yet.
Yes, we have David Franklin Farkas.
Yes, yes.
www.househealing.com.
Yes, yes. And before we went to break, we were actually talking about like what ghosts are and stuff like that. We kind of got into the whole idea of what they are and heard some funny stories and things like that. Very, very interesting. I mean, it's always cool to get different, you know, different perspectives on what ghosts are and things like that.
Yeah, but this is like from them through David Franklin Farkas to us. So this is really, really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's coming like... right from them through David Franklin Farkas. So you've got this amazing amount of stuff over the years that you've, you know, talking to them and things like that, and then you've been in these interesting situations, you know, such as at the job that you had at the
Midnight
with the psychiatric place or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
Psychiatric ward, yeah.
So, do you get any deranged ghosts there? I mean,
have you ever talked to any like that? Yeah.
In particular at the psych hospital?
Yeah, because it would seem like if somebody had perhaps had hung around or been at a psychiatric hospital and then perhaps passed away there or whatever, that they might continue to hang around there.
Well, that's certainly true. and psych hospitals, old psych hospitals especially, now they're starting to use them for housing and wellness centers and hotels and all kinds of things. It just drives me completely crazy that nobody thinks to get the property spiritually clean, to get someone to take care of the toxic waste and all of that stuff, but not the spiritual.
Yeah, they'll pull the asbestos out, but they
right,
but
right,
they yeah, leave these ghosts hanging around.
Right, and you know, by and large, they're not particularly violent ghosts or anything like that. Although I did very early on when I didn't know better. My girlfriend at the time and I had an opportunity to clear an empty psych hospital. There was a nursing strike, and they moved all the patients out, and we gleefully decided to do it. And most of it was a lot of fun, and we didn't have a whole lot of experience, but we did okay until we got to that classic at the end of the hall where these two rooms. And in one of those rooms, I walked into, you know, do psychic karate or whatever I thought I was going to do.
Psychic karate. Yeah. I like it.
And the being that was in the room didn't like that idea very much at all. It was his place. And he knocked me against the wall and choked me.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, I've heard about this. Boy, was this a stupid thing to do. And fortunately, I had someone else there to help me. And, you know, the difference between people who do this for decades and the people who go, I'm out of here, I'm never doing this again, because I just went, I wonder what that's about. And within days, I found somebody to give me more information, and literally she said, oh, honey, don't do it that way, you'll just get hurt. Let me show you. You know, it's not something that you do on site without having a mentor. And I don't work on site anymore, partly for that reason, but partly because I tend to get buildings that other people have worked on for a long time without success, or buildings that have really strange stuff going on. And if you're on site and you lose your focus for a second, you could be in real trouble. So I do it all remotely.
What kind of tips for ghost hunters would you have? Because I happen to know a lot of people listening to the show are ghost hunters, and they take scientific equipment, you know, I mean, just kind of like on TV where you take scientific equipment and recorders of various kinds, either digital or analog, and video or audio, and you know, some will do the video, some will do just stills, you know, I mean, so they take that, they take temperature gauges and, you know, various weather kinds of things, and then electromagnetic field testers, and so they take all kinds of equipment. They wander around supposedly haunted places and monitor the measurements, trying to look for anomalies and things that might not be caused by you know, terrestrial means.
Yeah.
So what should they do to protect themselves, or what should they do to watch out for this kind of stuff, and how would they know, other than to be thrown up against a wall, that it's time for them to get out?
Yeah, you really get you really know in that.
Yeah, that would be a big clue.
But, you know, my standard joke about scientific ghost hunters, and I think, you know, it's wonderful to have the scientific data, but it's, you know, you can't take the ghost temperature. He doesn't have a body anymore. But I understand what they're doing.
Right.
there are particular protocols that you can do, which all have to do with intention and imagination, as most spiritual stuff does, that will protect you in very dramatic ways. And I would suggest that they learn them, you know, that they find out from people that are people that clear houses and people that are doing work directly with the spirits how to get protected. And, you know, every one of these groups, because from what I see online, it's usually groups, they're going to find dowsers in their local town or other people that are not working from a paranormal investigation point of view, but from a working directly clearing the house of ghosts, and those folks can teach them, and they indeed should be doing that. Part of the, you know, one of the issues is with that skew their results, and I'm not sure that it would. So, you know, the function of someone who works the way I do is totally different from what paranormal investigators do. You know, they don't, typically from what I've seen, they don't have a perception that will tell them that the ghost is there, and they don't have a perception that lets them talk to the ghost. So they're looking for scientific data, and that's valuable stuff. I saw a video of an orb going across a huge room in a mill, and I was like, how cool is that? How often do you get that kind of confirmation data? I've seen lots of orbs on photographs, but, you know, a moving one? How great. So I'm really happy they do it, but my feeling is that because they don't have someone on the team that can do the interactive stuff, that if they find a ghost, they're probably going to freak out. You know, if they're walking through the house and an apparition suddenly appears, what are they going to do besides take pictures? So
I think we have a clip, GHI.
Well, yeah,
a clip
on the lighter side of it, but
yeah,
I've seen
how to react
yeah.
to a ghost. Yeah. But I've also heard of, you know, where when, you know, like, oh, in Florida, the folks who, oh my gosh, before Ghost Magazine, they did the radio show.
Oh, Jerry, oh boy, I think I know who you're talking about. Nah, it's escaping me now also, Doug. My thing...
Cowboy. Oh, well, anyway.
Yeah, my thing, though, what I've seen a lot of...
Flicker
yeah,
and everything.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
But anyway, they had gone into the one fort, the old Spanish fort,
mm-hmm.
and one of the girls on the team had gotten, like, must have been psychically attacked or something,
because yeah.
she just absolutely broke down. So they surrounded her and then basically walked her out, similar to how we saw
well, yeah.
the... At Moundsville,
mm-hmm.
or not Moundsville, at Mansfield.
Mansfield, the first time we ever went there, that was freaky.
Yeah,
too.
So I mean, there's certain things that people do, you know, that they people
right.
stay grounded, and then they can assist a person to get at least remove them from the situation.
Well, I have no room to talk on this issue, but I've seen a handful of videos recently. People send us stuff all the time, and they're like, "Hey, check out this cool video." I'm like, all right, cool. So I open it up and. You know, I watch it, and it's got a person. Usually it's a person that are walking through a house, right? And I've seen a couple of really interesting videos where they open a door up, and there's something standing there.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like it wasn't supposed to be there. And the last, I've seen about four or five in the last couple of weeks of the same type of video. Yeah. Like that, excuse me. And the initial reaction, I'm sure these people are there to find things like this, right?
Right.
But when they see it, I see the camera, and they go running the other way. Right?
Right, right. Totally freaks them out.
Yeah, it totally freaks them out. So
yeah.
I'm wondering, even with all the you know stuff that you know, I'm a paranormal investigator. I'm a ghost hunter. This is what I do, and I am ready to see the unseen and things like that. Right. I wonder if people were like you said. I mean, they're not prepared. I don't think mentally for that. Because even me, I won't lie. There's the few times where I've actually thought I was in the presence of something, it scared the daylights out of me. It really did. Something. I mean, it's the fear of the unknown. I heard that a long time ago. The fear of the unknown, well, the actual people say this all the time. The fear of the unknown usually equals death. And when the unknown equals death to people sometimes. That's why I think people get so scared of things like this. And that's why they take off running.
But isn't that what we're dealing with?
Exactly.
The dead,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but still people
know.
React that way, though.
Right. You were talking earlier about people that think that having ghosts in their house is a very cool thing and adds value to the house. And I have, I think, a controversial and very different perspective on just seeing ghosts as kind of amusing house pets, which is, you know, a lot of people are making money because their place of business is haunted or whatever. And my perspective is if there was a little old lady crossing the street, I would help her cross the street.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a little old lady who died that has to cross over, I'm going to help her cross over. And that's partially for her because she hasn't completed her life. She's stuck here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's important for her to do so she can get completion on it, go through a life review, become spirit again, have a party with her friends, whatever happens.
And,
you know.
Well,
decide whether to go on the next road trip. But here's the other thing. Taking it out of the ghost realm for a second, I talked to a scientist in Canada who works on what's called dirty electricity. So when the electricity is generated at the power plant, it's a very smooth sine wave. It goes up and down. There's nothing jagged about it.
Mm-hmm.
But in most houses, by the time it's getting to your devices, it's all raggedy. It's got another frequency running over it, usually multiple frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been picked up from the generating system acting like an antenna, the stuff in your building, all kinds of things. And they call it dirty electricity. They've been working on the determining the effects of dirty electricity on certain diseases. So if you clean up the dirty electricity, if you filter all that stuff out and make a clean wave again in the house, diabetics need less insulin, fibromyalgia gets better. There's about four or five disorders that they've been working with. They can't show a causal effect that the dirty electricity is causing the disease, mm-hmm. but it makes the disease worse, and when you get rid of it, you know, the people improve. So here's my take on the ghost realm with this stuff. Human energy is really different from ghost energy. It's all electromagnetic. And, you know, if you think of electromagnetic phenomena, the color red and FM radio and microwaves are all electromagnetic frequencies. But each one of them is totally different, needs different equipment to be useful. One you can see with the human eye, the others you can't. So in some way that we don't understand, ghosts are totally different from us. And they want attention. So what are they doing? They are constantly interfering with our frequency. It's a different frequency overlaid on ours. The other thing is what you're talking about people being scared, which I call the boo factor. you know, what happens when someone gets scared? You get the chill up your back, and your breathing changes and all that, and that's an adrenaline rush. And it's a stress reaction, and we all have enough stress in our lives for one thing. But if someone's living in a house with ghosts, part of what's happening, no matter how much they like the ghosts, is that they don't know when the ghost is going to appear. So you're constantly in this state of agitation, and then when they show up, you get that little fright of, oh, you're here again. Even if it's your friend, you know, and you're having long chats with it, it's still going to surprise you. So what happens when you have adrenaline rushes constantly is your immune system starts to collapse. And it starts out with people just having more colds and that kind of stuff. But people get sick from that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's why people that have stressful jobs get all kinds of major diseases because their immune system crashes. So from my perspective, I always want to help the ghosts move out, partly because it's what they need and partly because it's healthier for the people. And it just happens as a business value also to be the value that it makes it as it sells you more easily. Because new buyers, whether they know it's haunted or not, walk in, feel the energy, and they have what I call the stupid moment. You know, they start being unable to put a sentence together. There's something about it. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but, you know. And the reason is they're getting psychic data in their body, and they don't have the skill to figure out what they're feeling. And they then pick on the countertops or something and do whatever they need to get out of the house. But they're psychically, without having skills, picking up that there's something in this house that they don't want to be around. And it could also be the emotional history of, you know, the last 100 years or whatever, but there's something there that they don't resonate with and they leave. So, you know, it's good for the ghosts, it's good for the people, it's good for the property value. My feeling is, you know, let's help everybody and move the ghosts on. And I know that's not what there are some people that think any ghost that isn't causing problems should be able to stay wherever they want to. You know, there are other people that like it for amusement.
Mm-hmm.
I heard one story about a haunted B&B, and they had a kitchen ghost. And it would pick up a bag of potato chips, and it would float it across the middle of the room. And they'd turn around and go, Pete, drop the chips, you know? And the chips would drop to the floor, and the ghost would disappear. So, you know, there are people that have ongoing relationships with ghosts.
Well,
and I heard some hysterical ones at the convention that was at this weekend.
Undoubtedly. I certainly meant no disrespect to the ghosts or to the people who
want
a house that would be haunted, because what I meant was that I think that there are certain people who are more psychologically wired to accept haunting, accept
and
haunting
even
in their home.
And even like it. And I totally understand that. And, it, you know, actually at the conference that I just went to, there are people that think that my perspective on this is, you know, totally off the walls. So it's not that what I'm saying is mainstream, even in this very unmainstream world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that I've come to over time in trying to understand the ghost phenomena. You know, why are they stuck here? Well, they're stuck here because they didn't get to the light when they died, for whatever reason. That's where they were going.
Mm-hmm.
What they were supposed to do. There are some that stay behind because they want to, you know, they have a controlling personality or a tremendous love or duty to a person or a project or a house, and they stay behind and then they forget they can leave. You know, so you'll find the guy who is still gardening or farming or the woman who's still in the kitchen baking brownies. And I talked to someone this weekend, and she said the two sisters could see the ghost in the house, and she would bake cookies, and they could smell him.
Wow, yeah. And that's a common thing, although usually it's a perfume.
Yeah,
or
some roses or something
like that. But, however, the same thing with baking.
Cigarettes.
I mean, because
cigarettes.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot out west, mostly. And so
you don't want to deal with that in this studio.
No. You
won't pick it out from all of us.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, that isn't just a ghost phenomenon. I actually got called to clear a house after somebody purchased it because it's one closet still smelled like the previous owner. And they had done every cleaning thing they could imagine, and the smell just still was there and would come and go. And when I looked at the house in doing my remote work, I could see where it was, and it didn't look like a ghost, but I could see where the energy was. When I finished clearing everything, the next day the smell was gone and never came back. So there's some mechanism by which smells are coded in that electromagnetic phenomenon that I work with, and it's not always ghosts that do it. But when the ghosts do it, it's kind of a psychokinesis thing, like moving objects. They're making a change in physical reality using their intention in a way that I would love to understand. I mean, I had a ghost. Ghosts don't typically come into my apartment because there's a million pieces of protection up and angels outside and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, one comes in because they really want my attention. And I made a bagel, and I spread the cream cheese on it, and I took the knife and just jammed it in the middle of the tub of cream cheese because I was feeling like a boy. And amusing myself. And I'm sitting there minding my own business eating the bagel, and the whole tub of cream cheese goes sideways, falls over.
Oh, my
God. And I figured, not the knife, but the whole thing went sideways. And, first of all, I could have thought it was a really odd gust of gravity and just shrugged my shoulders. I figured it was more likely a ghost because that's what my life is. And, so first I turned to him and said, look, if you're going to do that in my apartment, you got to teach me how to do it because you do it better than I do. Come on. How do you do that? And, and they were coming. He was the scout for a group of ghosts that wanted to cross over, and they know that I can do that, so they show up sometimes. But it's like, how do they do that? That's psychokinesis by a being that isn't even from this dimension, using mental energy, except they don't have a body. it's like, I'm fascinated with it. Or I talked to a security guard who kept hearing the stories about the weird things going on in one particular place, and she got put herself on the schedule to be down there. And she walked in and said, okay, I'm here. I'm here to help. Show me where I have to go. And the lights came on in the elevator, and the elevator doors opened in this old mill building, old-fashioned elevator in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
He got in and said, okay, take me where you want me to go. And the elevator moved and took her up to another floor, and she had a conversation with the ghost and helped it cross over, and they never had the problem again. And she said, well, how does that work? And I said, well, did you notice whether the switches got thrown and the motor ran or whether it was silent? Because they could do either.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating. They can make technology, some who get good at it, can make technology work without throwing the switches. Or they can throw the switches.
Very impressive.
Very impressive.
We've got to call this to a close.
Man.
Because, yeah, Ghostly Talk has to end.
What a marathon show tonight, too.
David Franklin Farkas.
Yes, thank
you. www.househealing.com. Absolutely fantastic work you're doing.
Yeah,
and,
keep
doing
it up too.
And get those ghosts crossed over as much as possible.
Absolutely. Hang on the line for 1 second, all right, David?
Okay.
Thank you.
What a night. Whew.
It's been quite a night. Couple of announcements. Next week, of course, you guys are going one direction. I'm going another.
We'll be back to do the show, though.
We are coming back to do the show.
Yeah, we got a show. We got a show.
We'll be here to do a show next weekend.
No show. Did you say no show?
Yeah.
No, we're doing a show.
We don't ever do a show when we travel.
For conferences.
I'm going to be at the Crossroads Paranormal Picnic just west of Indianapolis, Indiana next weekend.
And I'm going to be
Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to be me, Bonnie, Amber Rose, and Good Jonathan are going to be actually in Louisville, Kentucky. We're going to meet up with the LGHS people the first night, Friday night, and hang out for a while. And then Saturday we're going to the Sounds of the Underground's final date.
Yes.
Sounds of the Underground Tour, all the metal bands, 20 metal bands throttling at you for 10 hours at Waverly Hills Sanitarium.
Well, I'm rolling down a hill in a thong. So
We're going to meet Guar.
Excellent.
So it's going to be, but we're going to be back.
I want you to give Dave Brocky a big hug from me and of course, Tanya and Allie, okay?
Definitely.
You guys, this has been an amazing show. We had David Franklin Farkas from www.househealing.com. We had Joey Ward from WGPRS.com.
Mm-hmm.
We had, of course, Rich Guzzi, oh my gosh, from discoverthepower.net.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Christy Robinette of tangledwishes.com.
Also, Topher Young.
And Topher Young talking about UNIFCON coming up next month.
Busy night.
I
want to
thank each and every one of those guests, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. Next week, 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time, that's when we'll be back. I am Doug.
I am Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
And this has been Ghostly Talk.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
To listen to now.
We'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media, become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Don't hate the media, become the media.